Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Father God, we are just so, so blessed. We are so thankful that your Son was Jesus and that He became a man through Mary, and that we are part of that family, but He is the only one begotten, and all the rest of us have been adopted. Thank you, Father God. Bless us as we go into the lesson this morning, that we may learn for ourselves how that we can be obedient to you, Father, and to not be caught by someone trying to fool us and take us away from you. So give us your strength, Holy Spirit, and give us your help in our lesson this morning, and open up our hearts and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So then, according to Genesis 3:13, who does God hold responsible for the sin? This is one of those questions. Well, it was Adam's business. He was supposed to be taking care of Eve. He was the one that was supposed to make sure that she knew that the two trees were not to be touched. And so, after settled that argument, we have here in 13, and it says, "Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?'" So if anybody asks you who is the one that sinned, it was Eve. That's what God said right here. "What is it that you have done?" How many times in your time growing up, and you knew that you had got into something you shouldn't get into, and your mother look at you, "What have you done now?" That was not good. What if Eve, in her innocence, how she felt when Jesus, our God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father came and said, "What have you done?" She had no clue what she had done. She was innocent. She was deceived. And we all can be deceived too. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at this morning, how she was deceived and how we can learn from that. So then it says, "And how does our actions affect others?" You know, we think so much the time, "Well, I can do this. It's my responsibility. I'm not bothering anybody else." Any time that you are guilty of following Satan and not following God, you are not only hurting yourself, you're hurting others. You're hurting your example to anybody that may know you. You're hurting your example to your family, to your children, to your friends, to your church. We have, as members of the family of God, to act like God's children. And so I know that God's children always look nice, probably. Some of them don't. I don't. Anyway, I just hate to get dressed. And lots of times I go to the grocery store, and if you see me in the grocery store, don't speak to me, because you might get contaminated, because I'm not getting dressed up to go to the grocery store. I get dressed up for y'all on Wednesday, and I wear my new wig on Sunday for Jesus. Other than that, I'm going to wear whatever it is I had on when I got up. But I don't care what action we take, it's going to reflect back on God. And if I was more pious, I would be more careful with how I look when I leave the house. But, when you get to be nearly 90, you don't care. You just go. So, anyway, then in the second little thing here, it says from 1 and 6. Now, then this is going back in the first part of this. What did Satan say to Eve to tempt her, and how can we be on guard not to be tempted? So, what is the first thing that Satan did? Okay. Norma said he lied to her. You know, he came and talked to her, and he lied to her. And he said, "Well, did God say that you could not eat of this fruit or these two trees?" She said, "Yes, he told us that we, if we did, we'd die." He said, "Oh, you won't. You're just going to get as smart as he is, and he don't want to be that smart." And you know, that really struck me. How are you tempted? Anybody have tempted in anything? Am I the only one that's tempted? Anyway, I'll give you mine. I got thinking about this, and the first thing she does is she listens. if I am ever, most of the time, I'm not tempted by pretty things because I've already told you I'm not that impressed with it. There's a lot of things that she was tempted with and that a normal woman or person would be tempted with. Really, it just kind of goes over my head. But I'm a wordsmith. I have to know what every word means, and I want to know what exactly I'm saying and why am I saying it. And I'll be reading something after I go to bed, and I have to get up and get the dictionary out and the concordance out before I can go to sleep, because what I hear, I have to make sure it's correct. And since I am so weak in the head that I have to be very careful what I hear, I have to be very careful what I read, I have to be very careful what I see on TV, I am very cautious. I can start a book, and if on the third or fourth page there starts to be bad words or something that I know it will bother me, I cannot read that book, or it will bother me. So I think that to me, one of the greatest things for me personally, and just reading at this time is helping me, watch what you hear and watch who you hear it from. And even if it's your self-talk, I think that's just fine. I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. That's also hearing from myself, and I'm allowed to stumble into something. But he started here, I think, where all people can be tempted. Is watch what you hear, watch who's talking for it, verify your information, make sure you know what you're talking about or who someone's talking to you. I don't care if they're a preacher. I don't care if they're a best friend. I don't care if they're your husband. I don't care if they're your kids or anybody that says, I have the answer for you. How many people on TV has the answer for us? A preacher's on TV, if you send me some money and I pray for you, you're going to be rich. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to be rich, but it's not going to be you. Yeah. So does hearing, have you thought how Satan can influence you through hearing? Then the next thing that we're talking about here is beauty. Or, she looked at it and it was pretty. Mm-hmm. And I love the beauty of the earth. I think is, to me, the most beautiful thing it is. I just sit and look at a tree from now on. When we first moved down here, we had no trees in the South Plains. They don't grow out there. And Mark and I, as my youngest son, kept walking around, and I'd stop and just ooh and awe over these oaks. And he said, I don't know, but I think you're seeing something in that tree I'm not seeing. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There are things that God has given us to be a blessing to us, just like beauty. There's not anything as beautiful as His world. And it just shouts God from one end of it to the other. And I can sit by a stream and watch a little stream run all day long. I love to hear it. I love to see it. I love to smell it. That, to me, is the most beautiful thing in the world, that in the sky. And I live out where there's no trees between me and the west. And I can see some of the most beautiful things in the sky, the colors. God must be real partial to pink. Yes. Have you noticed how much pink is in the sunset? Mm-hmm. And then I've tried to paint. I've tried that for about 5 years. And if you ever try to paint a sky, for it to actually look like a sky and it look like a cloud, it gives you some inkling of idea that it had to be a higher thing than me to create the beauty that you see. And of course he said the sky declares His glory. And if you don't know what glory is, watch a sunset. I can't see any sunrises because there's trees over there. So it's up above the trees before they start changing all the lights. God has given us to know what is beautiful. And so what is there something special? Of course, we'll all say, well, our grandchildren are beautiful. I have 10 great-grandchildren, and there's not anybody in the world got as pretty great-grandchildren as I have in my eyes. And there's a few other people to agree with me. But beauty is trying to draw us to God, draw us to Jesus. And if all of this beauty that he has created is any indication of how beautiful he is, I want to see him. I want to see him in his full glory. I want to see glorious. And I long, and I'm getting closer. Somebody said, you sure spend a lot of time in the Bible. I said, I'm working on finals. And when you get down to finals, you better be ready that you're going to pass the test. Everything that God has given us is for us to know him. And if we turn it on ourselves, well, I have to be beautiful and everybody's going to look at me. And if I don't have it just right, well, somebody's going to think I look tacky. You got your eyes on the wrong direction. Your focus is off. Beauty is good. Beauty can be deceiving. He's using everything that really touches our heart, touches our soul. I think the one thing he cannot ever use is music. That is a gift to us as mankind. Now, he can distort our music, but he can never pull us in, Satan can't, with good, godly music. But then there's noise. That some people have called music. So anything that has a good side can have a bad side or a bad effect. Mm-hmm. Now then here, it kind of hits me again. Mm-hmm. You must not eat of this tree. And she looks at it and it said, well, it's good to look at. Mm-hmm. It smells good, it tastes good. Mm-hmm. Why can't I? That's why I don't bake cookies. If I bake cookies and I smell them cooking in the oven, I have to taste at least three of every one of them that comes out of the oven. And so if it's even in the oven and it is even cooled off and I know it's there, if I am in the kitchen and there's a cookie there, it's saying, come on. So even food, have you noticed that's the only thing that we have pictures of? I have a whole box full of my grandmother's and my mother's pictures. We know what all kin folks look like. In the next generation, the only thing that we're going to have is pictures of food on the computer. I had this for supper tonight. We can misuse anything. That's why God said, if you eat of that tree and you start thinking about yours for yourself, you're going to be in big trouble because you don't think good. And it's all about whether I like it and how it affects me, not how it actually is. So what else did he do? And their eyes were opened. Another thing, I think that one of the reasons so many times some evangelist or some very charismatic person has a huge following, it's because like Eve, they wanted to be like God. We all want to be like God, but only God can make us like God. And of course, her innocence. Number one, she didn't ever have seen anything dead. When somebody says you're going to die and you've never seen anybody die and you don't know whether they're what died is and you've never seen or smelled, there's not anything smells as bad as something dead. God just tells us this is not where you want to go. But don't give Eve such a bad rap. I think that she was so innocent, but he knew everything that had appealed to her up until this time he could get into her. So he is very smart. And so you might just look at your inner self and think about, what do I need to have to be extra cautious about? Because we can all be deceived. And another thing, I've thought a long time, it seems to me that women fall in love with their ears. Have you ever seen the ugliest man in town with the most beautiful wife? And she's just happy as a lark. Because he tells her every morning how beautiful she is. And he tells her at noon, whatever you want, honey, that's what you can have. And he tells her that, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, Gene told me he loved me when we got married and that ought to stick. It did for 59 years. But we need to express to others our gratitude and, hey, I see you're serving God in a new way. We need encouragement. Words are powerful. Words, you know, created this whole world. And when we use God's words and God's Holy Spirit to bless others, they're blessed. And a man, he can go nuts over a good-looking woman, whether it doesn't matter who she is. But so you have to watch what appeals do through your eyes, what appeals to you through your ears, what appeals to you through your eating. Everything that is good, because God said when we were in creation, it is good. And when he got through with all of it, it is very good. But then when we eat of the tree of knowledge, it becomes very bad sometimes, because we misuse what God created. So there's a lot to learn from this. That's why God knew that we could not do this on our own. And so until he takes the Holy Spirit away from them, when he takes them out of the garden and puts them here. So everybody in the Old Testament is operating occasionally by the outside influence of the Holy Spirit. But no one has the Holy Spirit until Jesus gives it to us. And you cannot do this on your own, so you have to pray and you have to rely. Even if you're reading the Word, you can mix it up to where it doesn't make sense, because people do that all the time. I don't care where it is and when it is, Satan's there. And I'm just saying that we need to realize, even though Eve was disobedient, he had given them, when they were made in his image, the characteristics of reasoning and also of using their own will. God will not override our will. If we are bound and determined, many times, you know, in the old time, when he was dealing with Israel, when they were so hell-bent on following idols, he'd say, well, that's okay. He'll just pull them off and put them in that captivity. If you've ever studied the book of Judges, a lot of people don't read the book of Judges real often, but I think there were, I don't know, there may have been 40 judges. But every time that they were on track, they were following God, and then there will always be a sentence. Mm-hmm. And they did what was right in their own eyes. And then they begin to go downhill. Anytime that you think, and this is so, how many times do you say, well, don't tell me what to do. I was born with that. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. That is with our flesh, that we absolutely are completely right. But all of this is how God and how Satan works. But God has, in his mercy, has given us not only this, his word, he's made sure that it's in our language, that we have it in our hands. And you need to know what this book is, because blessed are you if you know. And he said, you hide it in your heart, and he will bring it back up. He does all the time, because I never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, you know. But pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for him to enlighten you. Pray for him for you to see clearly. And if you go through some one patches 10 times, you're going to find 10 new truths. You cannot exhaust it. And you are going to be blessed if you do it. Okay, we go on here. We said, cursed are you. Now he sees this is what all he's cursing when because of Eve's disobedience. Because you have done this, he's going to talk to the serpent. Cursed are you above all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust in all the days of your life. And number one, that is probably physically, but we don't know for sure about what the serpent was, but it most certainly was spiritually. In other words, how many times when you say, well, he's just a snake in the grass? Mm-hmm. It is a degrading thing. You know, everything, everybody else is up walking around, even the animals. But you will have to sit down there and eat dirt. In other words, you're going, Satan was cursed, and he began to eat dirt from here on out. And he said, you'll crawl on your belly and eat dust, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offsprings and hers. And how many people are scared of snakes? My husband was scared of snakes. If there was ever a snake anywhere, I had to go take care of it. I'm not scared of snakes if I can see it and I know what it is. But it's just like anything else. There's good snakes and bad snakes. And whether Satan was in the form of a snake, we really do not know. But that's what everybody considers it is, because serpents and snakes seem to have the same connotation now. But anyway, he said, you will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, this is the first prophecy of hope that we will be saved through Jesus. And where it says Satan's head will be crushed, that is saying, I'll take your authority away from you. Now, he runs wild all the way through the earth and all the way up until the time that God sends his son to overcome Satan. And then when Jesus is on the cross, and that is when he overcomes death, which is overcoming Satan, because we did not die until we sinned, then he is, from then on, is cursed completely. And that's why we're having so much of his activity now. His time is limited. And God has prepared for him hell. And so he's trying his best to get as much attention as possible. So that's taking his authority away from him, his reign, and then Jesus will suffer pain. And also we will suffer. As Jesus suffered and died, we are going to suffer in this world. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing when you give birth to children. I think it may have been a little uncomfortable to have babies, but now it's a big uncomfortable. Their pain has increased in that. And also, that can even be extended on to the pain of being a parent. I know that when I had Terry, I think I was 19, and I looked at that baby and I thought, I have brought in an immortal soul in my care. And I didn't know beans about babies. But it really hit me, you better get your act together. Because not only was I needing to be more faithful to the Lord, I had a big responsibility. And so when you have children, everything that ever happens to them is going to hurt you. Is that pain will be increased. I've got one that's turning 71 in November. That's still my baby, my son. That's the one that when I looked at, I thought, and praise God with his help, he's a good and godly man. But it's our responsibility, and when our kids hurt, we hurt. Anyway, back to what I was talking about here. To the woman, I'll greatly increase your pains, and then your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And then it all says, going on down to Adam here, because if you listen to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, and you must not eat of it, the ground, everybody was farmers at that time, the ground is cursed because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it. This is not work. This is making work work. You know, God would not even create the garden until he created the man to take care of the garden. And he told him, it's your responsibility to take care of it. He could work. But if you've ever worked in a flower bed that has just been done and all the dirt is absolutely perfectly balanced, there's no clots in it, there's no rocks in it, you'll never find one like this down here. I've seen it, it does exist. And then you're gonna have all these weeds, and so it's gonna fight you. And then the sand is gonna come along, blow it down and kill it all. It is work. Up until that time, the only thing they had to do was just walk through the garden and pick it. So they had it, so be careful. You may have it a whole lot better than you think it is. You know, there was an old saying, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. Be thankful for everything. You know, we have more than the whole world goes. One HEB is more than some countries has in a whole city. And we can march in. If we got enough money, we can march out with some of it.
And we complain when we have to.
Please don't complain. If you're going to complain, now don't complain around me. Because I'm liable to grab a hold of you and just shake your teeth loose. We are so blessed.
Or when we clean our house, we get to clean our house. We're blessed to have a house.
We have a house to clean.
Exactly, so many people.
It is amazing. We are so blessed. But we would have been so much more blessed if we had left in God's hands and eaten of his tree instead of going up and wanting to know everything he knows so I could do it all myself. Yes, Teresa.
I think it's interesting that the curse was thorns, and it was, of all things, the crown of thorns that they made to do the cross.
Yeah.
and reverse the curse.
You get to look at all this, it's all tied together. Yeah. You ask for this. Have you ever gotten a thorn in your foot? That's something we had grass burrs in a high place because we had sand. Y'all know what sand is either. All of those burn and they hurt. And so when the crown of thorns was placed on the brow of Jesus, it's like man said, if this was your idea to give us these things, we'll just give it back to you. All of this ties together. And so then, Satan's cursed, women's cursed, man's cursed. And it says here on this women and men, there is always a fight. Who is going to have the final word? God said, you better designate the man. He's supposed to be, and up until the last 200 years, the man completely took care of the woman. She did not work outside the home. And so when you want that authority and you want that responsibility, you know, they said, well, here a while back, everybody got so excited that women had been liberated and they now could drive tractors and do things. I could drive a tractor when I was 12. I was not excited about being liberated. You better watch what you do. God's word and his plan will always work best. But if you marry somebody that don't know the plan and don't know how it works, it's going to be harder on you because you're going to have to pick up some of the stuff that he keeps leaving behind. And then if he marries a woman that does not love his children and care for his children, and he has to do all of that and make a living on top of it, God's plan works. And it's not that either one of us have to have the final word. We work together. And that's why we are one, and we can either work and keep each other going, or we can go our separate ways and make it harder on both of us, one time or another. And so then he changes, and we go down here, what did Adam result in his curse? We've read that. In 7, Adam changes his wife's name to Eve, and he named her mother of all living. They hadn't had any kids yet. So God must have been talking to them about, you will have children, you will, you know, reproduce, you will furnish for the world. And so he recognizes that we are in this together, and she will be, all of our children will come from Eve. And so that's a blessing, and it's a big responsibility. When we get together now, there's 26 of us. We didn't have but 3 kids. You can multiply real quick. And then we had 5 grandchildren, and those 5 grandchildren now have had 10 grandchildren. So when we get all the married in and the babies and everybody there's 26 of us. We are being obedient. Anyway, so what does God say in his compassion now? Now then, he did not leave them. He's still going to watch over them, and you're going to see he works from the outside with them. Every once in a while, it'll be real clear. And this is the first one. And so when he said, why were you hiding? Eve said, well, we were naked and we were afraid. They've been naked ever since they've been created. They have never been afraid of God. This is what you, and naked is God can, not only he can see under your clothes, but he can see your heart. He can see your thinking. He knows you inside and out. We all stand naked before God. You cannot hide anything from him. Yes, Carol.
I kind of struggled with that. What did that really, what was that telling, the nakedness, what was that telling us? Well, I read some commentaries, and it was the barrier between us and God. Mm-hmm. There was now a barrier, and then there wasn't any before.
Mm-hmm. We still hide in our clothing.
Yes.
And that way, I guarantee you do not want to see me without my clothing. I don't even want to see me without my clothing. But all of this is showing shame. And what does he do? He kills something and takes the blood to be offered as a sacrifice. This is the first of animal sacrifices for sin, which will go on for hundreds of years. And then finally, only the blood of Jesus. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And even it had to be the perfect sacrifice. He said, The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away your sins. It told them for a year, you're going to be okay for a year. And then all the accumulation of sins that happened for another year, and then we'd have to go back and we'd have to send that goat off into the woods. And so that's why he is always having a lamb go off into the woods to take the sin away, and that's why Jesus is the Lamb of God. But it caused, you know, all of these sweet animals. We love our little animals. These were all of Adam's pets. Remember, he was the one that named every one of them. And so it cost, my sins is going to cost something or somebody. And so he offers up a sacrifice. He dresses them in the skins of animals because they are ashamed. And for them to have to make it, he has to cover them. Okay, when they move out of the garden, then he places in the garden. You know, I'd always thought there was one angel. I read this 15,000 times. There's two cherubims. There are two cherubims over the Ark of the Covenant. That's mercy. Yes. That is a symbol of God's mercy. It's in there to keep them away from the tree of life in the shape they're in. If they had been killed at that point, they would not have been saved through Jesus' blood. And I just think that's such a, you know, light is trying to get your attention. That's a picture of the mercy of Jesus, the mercy of God, waving up in front of that all time, trying to get our attention. You need me. See what you need me for. You had it all, and you threw it away because you listened to the deceiver. There is so much here to teach us. And so I love that. And you know, we see all these paintings that number one, angels are probably not looking like people with the wings on them flopping around every direction. But you see, they do try to see the difference in the angels that are the cherubims and the ones that are leading people into war. The cherubims, when you see them in a painting, they look like naked babies running around all up here. But there's a picture of the innocence that they have lost, but also of the mercy that God will give them. But it will be through the suffering of his son. All this is prophecy, that it will come through Jesus and his shedding of his blood, and that eventually he will open the door to his kingdom of heaven. Anybody want to discuss anything, questions to ask? Okay.
I had a friend this morning send this to me. He says, pray for your circle because Satan can't touch you. He will test everyone around you just to make sure.
We have circled up to pray. Sunday morning, if you come to High Point, I know not all of you do, our preacher challenged us to pray as a church together for 24 hours. He had a chart out there that somebody in this church is going to be praying every 30 minutes. And he wanted us to sign up. And when he said that in this congregation, that the first one left, I was so thrilled. I looked up and there was a huge line. And by the time that first service was over, there was not hardly any 30-minute spaces left there for someone in this church for this 24. Somebody right now today is praying for us. He's praying. They're praying for the world. They're praying for Jesus to be overcome. They're praying for all of the things that we need to pray for. And I think that's awesome. And normally we all go out and eat on my birthday. That's why we ate Monday. And so Norma went to the staff meeting and T.W. said, Wednesday we're having a fast. And she said, Wednesday we were all going to eat together. He said, well, you're going to have to change your plans. So we ate together on Monday. Yep. And then I got thinking, I like this. For my birthday, the whole church is praying and fasting. God good. He just blesses you. Just have to look around and see how everybody does. And if you don't know that, y'all can just join in now. You can bless for, you know, fast for the next 30 minutes if that's about all didn't last. But anyway, so I kept thinking, I got to get home by 1 because at 1:30 I've got to be praying for the whole world. And another thing, I don't think I have ever lasted a whole 30 minutes praying. There was a man that came up on the computer thing that came through. I think it was from Dr. preacher's in California, lost his name now. And he said, I'm getting older, and the only thing that I regret is that I did not pray enough. He said, if I had prayed more, maybe more people would have come to faith. If I had prayed more, maybe I would have had a different calling. When you turn things over to the Holy Spirit to take them to our Father, and our Father, and through the interpretations and things of the Holy Spirit and the interceding of Jesus, there's power there. And we have seen, we've been praying for a year, Biggie's not here this morning, for her husband to get well enough to have hernia surgery. He had it Monday. But it took a year, and every week we prayed.
And he's home.
And he's home.
He's home, and he's still having some pain, but all good.
Praise God. We have seen, that's one of the, I think our prayer book is the most valuable thing we have in this class.
Yes.
And then I've got three from three classes here that I pray every morning. And I have seen our prayers answered. That is the greatest faith builder that you can have, is keep a journal and keep a prayers and say, he did it. And if he didn't, he has a reason. He's blessing you. He's protecting you.
Father God, we all have a heart for your covenant, for your remnant, for Israel. We just lift them up to you, Father God. We know that you are in control. We know that you are there and you are keeping them under your loving care, Father God. We just continue to pray for them and we lift them up to you. Thank you that you bring us to this class. Thank you for your word that Jean leads us. Thank you for teaching us to learn about who you are in our lives, Father God, and how much you love us and how much you care enough to tell us what we should do, Father God. Keep us obedient to you, that we might just hear your word and learn and listen and be a light to this world. Father God, there is so much darkness right now. Help us to just shine your light in everybody that needs to see you, to hear you, to know of you. Help us, Father, as we go through this day. We know that you have heard these prayers, and we know that you are listening and that you will give us our heart's content, Father God. We just love you and we trust you. And we thank you for Jean and everything that she teaches us, led by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who loves us so much that brings us back to you, Father God, for his sacrifice that he did for us. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us daily, for this beautiful day. Father God, we thank you for this church that brings us together to hear your word. And we just love you so much, Father God. It is in your son's name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.